You may hear me say or write, free the oppressed. But I don't feel like I truly am able to express across social media just how much I mean that. And I mean that from deep within. Like, I mean that from the fiber of my skin, beyond my bones, from every particle of my body. And I've never meant it more than especially nowadays. You could turn on your TV, the news, the radio, social media, anything, and you'll run into the atrocities and horrors of today, of things that sadly continue and have carried on for decades, centuries even. And when I chew on and digest and begin to truly process the situations at bay, oftentimes I'm left in a place of sorrow, hopeless, helplessness, depressed, ready to burn one and burn some is down. But one thing that has held me down time after time again is the arts. I think it was Nina Simone who said something along the lines of, the job of the artist is to reflect the times. I believe that. Sometimes, though, we tend to expect everyone to have something to say. And we want the people we listen to and idolize over, if you will, like we want them to have a social conscience. But honestly, not even people we deal with in our everyday lives, kin or friends, do we hold to that standard, or do they have one, or rather a well-informed opinion? You can't expect everyone to be versed. It ain't realistic. It's problematic to want someone to say something for the sake of just saying something when they don't have a clue and probably have never had one. Or maybe it's in development. Maybe they haven't felt the need to lock or look further beyond what's in front of them. Or maybe they're afraid to learn and uncover a rebellious nature within them and would rather not engage. And if I'm to be real, it does suck. It really does. However, understandable how someone gets to that point. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily agree, but I totally see how you can reach that point. It's enough well-educated folks out here, whether through schooling or self-led studies, to follow and lift up and engage with in their messaging. The internet has made a way for us to create and find our communities. So with all that being said, my interest of this episode and the next is to speak us into the cosmos. I want to take a dive into the realm of possibilities through Afrofuturism. It's truly a beautiful artistic format of activism. It's a way of imagining the historically disenfranchised into the future when the powers that be of today try everything in their oppression playbook to wipe us out of the now. And most certainly write us out of the future. So, grab your tinfoil hat and some snacks, get cozy, and hop in my spaceship via a hoopty, and let's ride into the cosmos. What's so fascinating about Afrofuturism is that it's all about possibilities, options. It's about imagination and just how far you can push the creative mind. What you may think is too complex and may be already written in stone, and you had no idea there was folks out here that thought like you. And what you may feel is too weird may be just the thing to help fuel the cause for liberation. We need more of the fantastical, more of the strange. Afrofuturism is not a new concept. However, the word Afrofuturism is fairly new in the grand scheme of things. It's been around for decades. One could look deeper and see fragments of the concept as far back as the late 1800s. I've heard Afrofuturism described best as defiance, I read this nice quote by a theorist and poet, Fred Moten, that I feel like encapsulates the essence of Afrofuturism. He said in his essay, "There is no racism intended. I want to identify not with the creaturely life, but with the stolen life of imagining things." Now, if that hits you, say amen one time for me. All right? And see, what that quote feels like to me, I guess, in one aspect, is the idea of reclaiming time and reclaiming what was once ours and rediscovering our essence as a whole. And I want to make it clear once again that even though this is about blackness, it isn't just about blackness, and we can all find a portion of ourselves in this Afrofuturist lens. But I prefer the Yatasha Womack's definition and understanding of the term. Yatasha Womack is a multi-hyphenated author who best describes the expansive definition of Afrofuturism, what it is and how it functions. She says, "Afrofuturism is a way of looking at the future and alternate realities through a black cultural lens. Black cultural lens means the people of the African continent, in addition to the diaspora, the Americas, Europe, etc. It is an artistic aesthetic, but also a kind of method of self-liberation or self-healing. It can be part of critical race theory, and in other respects, in its epistemology as well. It intersects the imagination, technology, black culture, liberation, and mysticism. An artistic aesthetic, it bridges literature, music, visual arts, film, and dance. And as made of self-healing and self-liberation, as a mode of self-healing and self-liberation, is the use of imagination that is most significant because it helps people to transform their circumstances. Imagining oneself in the future creates agency, and it's significant because historically, people of African descent were not always incorporated into many of the storylines about the future." All right. Now, I know that was a mouthful. I really do. But I had to get that off. She really gives us a solid picture and solid foundation. Now we have a place where we can take off for our journey. And we can't go anywhere until we make sure we have at least a few solid pieces, you know? Now, the term Afrofuturism was first coined by the writer Mark Deary from his essay, Black to the Future. He ponders why black folks don't write science fiction books. And mind you, this essay was published in 93. He says, and I quote, "A genre whose close encounters with the other, the stranger in a strange land, would seem uniquely suited to the concerns of African-American novelists." And you know what? I guess, in a way, I can see what he's saying, where he's coming from with that. In the sense, talking about the stranger in a strange land. But my whole thing is like, the stranger in a strange land, you know, you're only strange if someone deems something as a supreme. But, you know, this is me being nitpicky with it all. And honestly, as long as I can remember, black, you know, knowing people, black people especially, engaged into the world of sci-fi and the fantastic, you know, this has been a norm. It may not have been to the outside world, but I've always known of other, I guess, strange kids into the expansive world of that. It reminds me of that scene in Lovecraft Country where the father and the son connect and speak about sci-fi. Yeah. And the press somehow, in some way, always turn lemons and lemonade. Now, in the mainstream, we know that folks of a certain hue tend to be the lead focus, and especially even more in sci-fi and the fantastical. It was so common growing up seeing this that I didn't even feel the need to bother to waste my breath on this observation. But it's funny how when you start to speak of and acknowledge the elephant in the room, we can all breathe a bit easier. Calling things out by its name chips away just a little at its power. And they say gold lies deep within, and well, I see us deep underneath all that crap. I encountered a realm of wonder. Every day, everything I follow, I discover a new way of thinking, remixing, discovering new angles and worlds of possibilities. It's a matter of not accepting what's put on your plate.
Consent not to be a single being. Fred Merton.
When I deliberately started plotting my adventure into the cosmos of Afrofuturism, one man, or rather one being, first appeared in my mind. Sun Ra. And if you know anything about him, even the tiniest bit, you'd recognize that he was perpetually elsewhere. In another world, trying to bring black folks with him. He was an avant-garde musician with a take on the world that would baffle most. And it's far too complex for me to, like, stop this journey and really break it down for you. But I implore you to do some research on this man and listen to his stuff and just vibe out. It's an experience, you know. But however, Sun Ra is the spaceship, and I've chosen him as our designated driver. He'll help us with our liftoff. I may not agree with all of his ideology, but I really appreciate the concept, or his concepts. And in a brief summary, pretty much he felt that if the oppressed, in this case black folks, couldn't find hope, love, and liberation, freedom, hell, even our most basic needs met on this planet, that we hop on to the next. He didn't believe we were of this world anyway, and his 1974 deep cut sci-fi musical, Space is the Place, Sun Ra is a space age prophet who lands in lands a spaceship in Oakland, having been presumed lost in space. It's a cross between blaxploitation and sci-fi, and blaxploitation is like my favorite. I watch it all the time. Anyways, let me stop. Good versus evil. He's there to liberate black folks through song, which is presumed to what powers the spaceship. The spaceship is a metaphor for blackness. And he hints at what Lynn Johnson, in her review of the film, says: if music powers the alien-like machine that transports one into an alternate reality where they can experience alternate self, then music can power an alien-like black self to do the same. She then says in her essay that I feel like nicely buttons up some of the ideals of Sun Ra, that the notion that the only way for a black soul to exist on this earth is to consider themselves alien. Music is power in the black community, and since it was used as communication between the enslaved, and as well as it's a way to release all your worries and dance, it's a way of diary, it's so much, it has so much weight in our community. It's nothing new. Now, we've done some extraordinarily remarkable things as a people that confuses some, yet we rise. It just kills me that we have to continuously rise. Like, why can't we fly? Why can't we cruise? You know, let me just leave that alone. Anyways, this thought process of considering oneself alien is powerful, yet dangerous in the sense of it takes away your humanity. You know, although brilliant in the fact that it liberates you of a tradition and releases you of shackles, it also disassociates. It makes everything fresh, and a history is made every day. Something new is consistently conquered in the face of obstacles. And that, my dears, I feel like is a black history.
I am not going to die. I'm going home like a shooting star. Sojourn the truth.
The spaceship of Sun Ra made me want to turn to some navigation and connect more dots. I wanted some direction, which led me and leads us, you know, to the late, great Octavia Butler. I've been digging into some of her work for a minute, and let me tell you, it's nothing short of incredible. If Sunrise the spaceship, then by all means, Miss Butler is our navigator. She holds the maps and the charts. What really moves me with her is her imagination. In one of her interviews, she says, "I write about people and the different ways of being human. And you can only do that when you write about all kinds of people." Which is important in the criticism I had earlier about alienation in regards to Sun Ra and of other oppressed people. It does strip away one's history and ancestry, if you will. And the key is to be inclusive in our imagination. But we can also use the tool of alienation. Sorry, I was trying to figure out if there's a better word for that. I guess in like finding power and strength in our differences.
Our destiny is to take root among the stars. Octavia Butler.
Came across this book, which wasn't written by Miss Butler, but was inspired by her, called Octavia's Brood. Written by a collection of artists and edited by Adrienne Marie Brown and Walida Imarisha. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm so sorry if I didn't. And what I found literally at the beginning, like in the introduction, charts another dot and path for us of past, present, and future. It begins by making its case clear that although the activist and the artist may appear to be worlds apart in their life work, it's to be understood that they share a dream and a common cause for a brighter future. When we reach for imagining a world without war and poverty and famine, we're engaging in what Walida Imarisha says is speculative fiction. She says when organizers and activists dedicate their lives to creating and envisioning another world or many other worlds, it's exploring their work into a medium of science fiction of sorts. And what I really love about the work these folks put into this book in the inspiration of Ms. Butler is that they were able to coin a new term that extends beyond Afrofuturism and encompasses all the oppressed. Visionary fiction, which encapsulates the fantastic with a plot driven to justice. It's all about decolonizing imagination because then liberation is limitless. Let me say that one more time. It's all about decolonizing imagination because then liberation is limitless. When we start to realize how truly powerful it is to imagine and dream, reach and create the fantastical for ourselves, well, baby, that's a mighty thing to get them people shaken. Them folks, the higher ups and people, they'll start quivering because that is power. Octavia pushed boundaries, although she was shy and soft-spoken, strange even. She gave power to a legion of readers to wander. And that's where the magic happens. Like I said before, you know, pick up anything by her and listen to her interviews and you'll know that she didn't want to be the first Black woman decorated science fiction writer. She wanted to be among hundreds of thousands of writers dedicated to the obscure, the strange, the benevolent, wielders of the fantastical. And she was so slick with it in the way that she wove West African folklore, African American tradition, and much more into like a mind-boggling masterpiece of art. This universe is so dense, rich, and expansive. If you find yourself just dipping a toe in, you may just end up deep diving willingly into that ocean. Now, I'm going to stop right now for this portion of the journey. I don't want to wear y'all out too soon. I could literally write a few theses of all that I've come to learn and know. But we'll save some for part two of our journey into the cosmos, where we meet some funky, slick, whiz kids, offsprings, aliens, if you will, of it all. So don't take off your tinfoil hats. Until next time. See you. Thank you once again for listening and checking out, you know, riding out with me on this deep ride of Afrofuturism. More soon to come, part two. I hope you hang in there. To follow Penny English on Instagram is PennyEnglish317. On Facebook is Penny English. And if you'd like to visit my website for some one-off random thoughts, exclusive content, and soon-to-come merch, check out PennyEnglishWho.wordpress.com. That's PennyEnglishWho.wordpress.com. And if you're interested in my music and want to vibe out more with me, it's the majority of my content can be found on SoundCloud under Penny English. I just want to say thank you once again. And we ride at dawn into the cosmos.